1914. And where were you born?
Little town, Medford, Wisconsin. Northern Wisconsin.
Medford, M-E-D-F-O-R-D?
Right.
Okay. And tell me the first time you came to Aspen.
Well, it's sort of crazy. I won a race in Arizona. I was Arizona downhill champion.
Arizona downhill champion? I love this. And so?
And that was 1941. And I'd gotten to know about Aspen from Frank Machau, who was an artist.
Spell Machau.
M-E-C-H-A-U.
Okay.
He was living in Redstone.
All
his
right.
widow is still there, Paula okay. Machau. And he came down to where I was, at Frank Lloyd Wright's in Arizona.
Uh-huh.
At Taliesin.
At Frank Lloyd Wright's what?
Well, it's a camp. He called it a camp. It was a school, and winter headquarters.
Did Frank Lloyd Wright actually teach there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well,
I went to Madison State. Well, you both did. I went to Wisconsin.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, that was the winter headquarters.
Okay.
For the fellowship.
Okay.
What he called a fellowship. And I skied every chance I could up at San Francisco Peaks.
Mm-hmm.
Up above, whatever that town is.
Somewhere in northern Wisconsin.
Oh, no, northern Arizona.
Oh, Arizona.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So I go up there on weekend. And I won this race, and then I knew that there was going to be this national race in Aspen in March, that spring. And because I had won that race, I applied to be in the race.
Mm-hmm.
And it was crazy, you know, for me to want to be in that race. I wasn't that good.
I
had never been in a big mountain.
How old
were
you?
Steep mountain.
How old are you at this time?
Well, I was about 27.
Okay.
26 or 27. And I managed to come up here. It took me 3 days to get here. By train and hitchhiking.
Oh, okay.
From Arizona up here. You know,
did you carry your skis on your back hitchhiking?
Well, I guess so.
Yeah. Okay.
And I broke both skis practicing. And I had an excuse to drop out. But this town was, you know, so great to me those 3 or 4 days. And I was sort of an imposter, really. So I've been trying to get even to this town ever since. helping do civic things.
And so, where did you stay? You want to lean forward on your knees, so I want to make sure you're getting...
I was at the Waterman Cabins. There weren't very many quarters. That was on the west end of town.
Waterman. Is that by Water Street or over there?
That's where the highway makes the first turn. Coming into town.
Oh, the cabins that are still there?
The cabins aren't there now.
Oh, because they're still a little...
There's some big fake historians on that block.
Okay. So right by Cooper Street Bridge? Or up by...
Well, it's a block, a block and a half east of the Castle Creek Bridge.
Oh, the Castle Creek Bridge. Okay.
You know where the turn is.
Oh, okay.
The highway.
I was going this way. I was coming out of town this way.
I mean, there were two sets of cabins. There were the cabins out there, and there were Sparky's cabins on the east end of town.
Right, and that was Sparky Sparvick, right?
Yeah. Right.
And where were his cabins?
Right up where Noel it is.
Those were Blaine Bray used to have.
Blaine Bray, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Blaine Bray had.
Right, and so the town was really good to you, and what did you eat when you came to Aspen?
I suppose the Jerome.
Yeah? What was the Jerome like?
Well, it was, you know, just struggling to keep alive.
Uh-huh.
Lawrence Elisha and his wife, and we were doing most of the work, and they hired 4 or 5 people to help run it.
And what about... did you meet any great European skiers and stuff? Was it like a big thrill for you, or?
Well, my memory is very bad.
Yeah.
And I can't remember too much about it except that it was one of those marvelous March weekends.
Uh-huh.
When it's beginning to warm up and it's still blue sky and the marvelous powdered snow. And it was just, you know, a day like this every day.
Right.
I thought I was in heaven.
Did you think at that time I want to come back and live here?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I As soon as I got to Wisconsin, I'll tell you from there, I was drafted for the war. But then I got back here at Camp Hale.
Okay.
I came over every chance I had to Camp Hale.
So what years were you at Camp Hale?
43 and 44.
So what did a
week... Late fall in 43.
What did a weekend... When you were in Camp Hale, they just trained you for outdoor... I mean, I don't really know what they did at the camp. What did they do? They trained you
for... Well, it was a ski school. But then there was typical infantry kind of practice training. And we had maneuvers in the mountains.
Did you actually... Did you use this in Europe?
Did you go to Europe? Life was easier when I got to Europe.
It was easier?
In the war, in a way. Because it was so cold on these maneuvers.
Yeah. Oh, it was. And so Europe was warmer.
And the atmosphere was so polluted. The hospital was full of people with respiratory problems. Of course, in Europe, you had bullets, but...
There was
normally
a quicker...
stayed in farmhouses, at least before we went into action.
So in Europe you stayed in a farm... And now when you went into action, did you see a lot of action in Europe?
Well, we were only in action for about 3.5 or 4 months.
Oh, okay.
But we had a lot of, a lot of activity. A lot of enemy action.
A lot of people were killed. So did you, what country were you in?
Northern Italy.
Northern Italy. Now, did you actually put your skis on over there and take off with a rifle on it?
Well, there were a few pairs of skis that went over. Not very many.
Nothing.
And I took a reconnaissance, one reconnaissance on skis, and there were some patrols on skis. Steve Knowlton went on one or two patrols, But you didn't even see skis because there were so few taken over.
Right.
Everybody had skis over here, all 14,000.
Oh.
But they sent very few over. We didn't go over until about Christmas time. We didn't go into action until February.
And then was the war over at that time?
Well,
that
the war was over in April.
April, okay.
And we got up in the foothills of the Alps.
Okay.
North of the Po Valley.
So what did a weekend, when you came over to Aspen from Camp Hale, what did a weekend in Aspen entail?
Well, you'd check in at the Jerome Hotel and for $1 a night.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And in the winter, we normally would get one run down the Roche Run, the race course.
Wait a second. We have a noisy house.
I guess they're barking because of
the noise. Right, they heard this.
Shut up.
So we were going back to Camp Hale, and you came over and stayed in the hotel at Jerome. Came over to Hotel Jerome and $1 a night you stayed there, and then what did you do? What did it cost to ski?
Oh, well, it wasn't in charge because you had to climb up.
Oh, you did? Okay, that was before the rope tow?
That was
the boat tow.
That was maybe 10 cents.
Oh,
wow. That would get you 500 feet vertical. And then you had to climb like 1,000 feet above that.
Did buddies from Camp Hale come over with you?
Yeah.
Just to ski. Okay.
Yeah.
And what did you do at night in Aspen? Just go to the bar at the hotel?
Yeah, the the bar and the ice cream parlor were
the buffet.
One thing.
Yeah.
On the corner.
Yeah.
And that's how that Aspen could became
right.
Because they had ice cream there.
Okay.
And I just got their drink and singing.
Right.
It wasn't much wenching, you know, to enjoy it.
And so after you you're done with the war and you came back to Wisconsin for a while?
Oh no, I came directly here.
You came directly to Aspen from the war.
Because when I was at Camp Hale, I discovered a ranch up on Red Mountain, and I wanted to try to buy that and then back there.
Now whose ranch was that?
It was known as Fred Gagnon.
G-A-G-N-O-N.
Okay. It was one of Valdosta people.
Okay, Valdosta?
Yeah.
Okay. And so Fred, where did Fred go after that when you came back?
He moved to Denver and bought a little grocery store
outside
of Denver.
And so when did you meet Fabi?
Well, she came to visit her sister's lullaby.
Oh, in Aspen.
Right.
So you didn't know Bobby before you moved here?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you
I was a bachelor up there.
So you lived up there by yourself?
Well, so there were guys helping me there. Uh-huh. And,
did you have any chickens up there?
Oh, I had. I was trying to be a subsistence farmer.
Oh, you wanted to be a farmer?
I had a milk cow. Oh,
okay. Did you know how to
milk? I inherited 600. Oh, yeah, I'd done that when I was a kid.
Oh, okay.
Dairy farming. But I acquired 6 horses when I bought the place.
Uh-huh.
And had a cow and chickens and a pig.
Now, when you were little, where were your parents from?
My father was of English extraction and my mother was German.
Mm-hmm. And so, is that where Fritz comes from?
Oh, it's sort of a German neighborhood.
Oh, okay. Wisconsin German, yeah. My dad's Wisconsin German, too. So you had horses and you had all that stuff, and then what year did Bobby come to
Ask? I raised my own grain for the chickens.
Okay.
They didn't lay a lot of eggs.
So
and some guy stole my pullets from me.
What
are
pullets?
25 little chicks. You know,
oh, okay.
They were growing up, and
yeah.
They were at the back end of the meadow. And
someone stole them?
One night they all disappeared.
It
could
have been Chicken
Bill. There
was a
little gang here. I think it's the same gang that stole Friedel's meat.
Oh.
That was about the same time.
Oh.
He was trying to raise meat.
Because there was a guy in town called Chicken Bill who stole chickens.
Oh.
Maybe it was Chicken Bill.
No, I don't know who it was.
So, what did you, just work the ranch? Did you make money off your ranch? Or did you also, what did you start doing to make money?
Well, I started, I was going to make a dude ranch.
Oh, okay.
And that first winter, I tore down an old barn that was falling in. But it had some good logs in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I hitched up the team of horses, dragged those logs across the meadow and built a cabin.
Mm-hmm.
First thing I built here, that first winter.
Mm-hmm.
I started building a cabin by myself. I was living up there alone.
Uh-huh.
And that was the start of this dude ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started designing one house at a time. I hired a couple of carpenters.
Mm-hmm.
There were practically no building trades people in town.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was such a depression.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hired my own carpenters and started designing and building one house at a time.
Did you actually have people come, like tourists come? And
oh yeah, I did for a couple of years until we got married and then Bobby didn't dig yet.
Did you take them on horseback rides up,
oh, yeah,
like by the ditch on Hunter Creek and stuff?
And we had,
so he's kind of like a Had Dean.
I fixed up the barn into the loft space. It's going to be for the square dancing.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
We had some square dancers up there.
Oh, wonderful.
And the lower level was the lounge for the bar.
Uh-huh.
And I told Bobby you can sing French songs here at night.
On the piano.
Yeah, took the wheels. But she did, initially.
Did she sing, too?
Well, she had a beautiful voice, but she didn't sing.
Oh, she did have a beautiful voice?
Oh.
I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh,
we're going to have to get her to sing sometime.
Well, you won't get her.
No, she won't do it. Did she sing in the bar a couple times?
No.
She wouldn't do it. She's shy.
Well, I guess we've been married in the fall, so the dude ranch summer season is over.
Mm-hmm.
But then the next winter was the FIS, in 1950.
So you got married
in 49.
And
she cooked meals for 30 people at the FIS.
Oh, okay.
Breakfast. Cooked breakfast.
Right.
So she didn't get to go to the races.
Bummer.
That was bad.
So how did you meet Bobby? She came here in she got married in 49, so what year did she come here to visit Joella?
Well, I must have been the year before.
Oh, you got married. You had a short, courting.
Well, she was already married.
Oh, she was? Well, why not? So she was
living in New York, she had to go to Reno for 6 weeks to establish residency.
Oh.
It was
So she met you, fell head over heels in love with you, and divorced her husband.
Guess so.
You guess so. And so, Bobby's going to love correcting this, I can tell, when we get this to her. So, did she stay in Aspen for, how did you meet her, at a party or something?
Oh, yeah, everybody went to the same party.
Yeah, okay, so you met her at a party, and then you courted her, and then a year later you're married?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably it was a week.
And so Bobby played Dale Evans on the Dude Ranch for a while and then decided she didn't want to do that anymore. When did you start doing architecture and all that stuff?
Well, I already was doing some.
Oh, you were?
One house at a time.
Okay. So that was me.
Yeah, I kept pretty busy.
What were your first impressions of Aspen? Now you're actually living here. And what was your impression here? Did you feel like you were home?
Well, I just liked everything about it. I liked the mystique of the West, the horses, the cowboys, and all that.
Uh-huh.
And loved the climate, loved the mountains.
Loved the ski.
Loved everything about it.
Loved everything about it. What about the people?
And they were wonderful people,
Mm-hmm. How would you describe?
Bobby appreciated them too.
Yeah.
It's interesting that she grew up in Paris.
Uh huh.
But luckily she spent some time out in the country on the farm. Her mother sent her, boarded her at a little farm in Burgundy and up in the Champagne country. Uh-huh. She was at the gamekeeper's cottage up there for a year.
Uh-huh.
Winter as well as summer. Just lived this primitive life, and it really gave her an appreciation of simple people and appreciation of nature.
Right.
Lucky for me that she really liked the countryside.
How would you describe the people in Aspen?
Well, it was so tough economically here. There's a lot of people left.
Mm-hmm.
But those that stayed on, I think, so many of them really loved the place. Many of them were characters.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of individuality in them.
Mm-hmm.
And they, of course, they weren't interested in the idea of this being tourist resort.
Right.
They wanted mining to come back.
Right.
And they didn't welcome the majority really weren't interested in this becoming a resort.
Right.
But there was a hardcore, people like the Willoughbys and stuff, Lawrence Elisha and Mike and Magnifico, who realized that, they loved skiing. Roger Rose taught them how to ski. So they fell in love with that, and they realized that that could be the future of this place, rather than mine.
Right.
The tourism.
What do you think Aspen?
And they, they didn't foresee it being a huge climate resort.
And what did, what do you think that they had back then in the 40s that we don't have now in Aspen?
Well, it's just like night and day. Everybody knew everybody else. There was actually no social strata. Must have been during the mining days.
Right.
More of that during the mining days.
They were the rich and the poor, yeah.
But everybody was broke. Even most of the people who came to live here were struggling to make a living.
Yeah.
And everybody was working. In fact, you know retirees and very few tourists, very few second homeowners. The condominium wasn't developed yet. So if you had a second home, it was a house. And there wasn't the opportunity to rent it, because it was a condominium.
Yeah.
And the people that came with money. I really wanted to be part of the community and didn't want their wealth at all. Now they built modern houses with bottles of coins and 50 months to expand and tear them down to the bigger house.
Right.
You know, it was just an incredible period there where quite a few interesting people were you know, coming to town. He's been in the service, Navy or Army, Air Corps.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to go back to their old lives.
They just want to start something new.
Yeah, they were intrigued by what Pepke was wanted to do here, MacReady wanted to do. And it was just very unique. The kind of social life there was, and the simplicity of everything.
Could you move closer? I want to make sure I'm getting you. Speak so quietly. Yeah, you do.
Well, it was such a simple life, and compared to now, there was, you know, there wasn't much in the way of diversions here.
Right.
All the smartest part of things to do now, all the ballet and the music, and it was just, you have to be, you know, attuned to that kind of thing.
When did you know that Aspen was going to change?
Well, it was such a creeping thing.
Mm-hmm.
When the condominium law came in.
And what year was that?
Well, I don't know.
Was that in the 60s?
Yeah.
I think it was.
Around 30 years or so.
Yeah. And so you knew that it was...
I designed the first luxury condominium in Aspen Alps.
Mm-hmm.
George Mitchell was the developer of that. And we actually, when we started designing it, it was going to be a co-op.
Mm-hmm.
Because the condominium law didn't exist.
Right.
But, and it became a condominium. And, well, that's kind of the turning point. And about the same time, I guess, the wooden skis were replaced by synthetic skis.
Right.
It's made a lot easier to learn.
What would you...
And then the Bogner pants.
Right. Head skis. Standard skis.
Yeah.
What about... if there's anything you would wish for Aspen today, what would you wish for it? If you could bless the town somehow, bring something back, or...
Well, I had lunch with Mark Friedberg today and George, guy who owns a restaurant up at George Gordon.
Yeah.
We were talking... about how Aspen is, you know, they travel a lot, and I travel quite a bit, but there's nothing like Aspen, even now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was so unique 50 years ago, but in its own way, it is still, we agreed that it's the best place, and we know it, in the world,
mm-hmm.
to live.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much dissension here, that mm-hmm. bothers me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It puts a sour note on life here, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to read the papers. There's so much, you know, controversy in the papers.
Mm-hmm.
That I wish people would relax and realize that we've just got such a paradise.
Mm-hmm.
Why fight all the time? I mean, we mostly want the same thing.
Right.
You know, the fast buck developer is long gone.
Mm-hmm.
That was a bad period there where there weren't enough controls and there was too much development too fast.
Mm-hmm.
But and a lot of this dissension is necessary. Like there should be more controls in these huge houses going in the west side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we ought to try to, we should be preserving the small scale that existed, if it's possible. But You know, it's... It just seems like so much bitterness and fighting.
So what
you
would really want is people to relax and get along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's paradise.
Yeah.
It really is.
And I think that the community is the thing that's been lost more than... I mean, the beauty's still here, the valley's still here, but it seems like when I've been interviewing these people that there's a sense of community and trust that's not here anymore. You don't trust anybody anymore. You don't even meet your neighbors anymore unless your lawyer calls them.
Oh, I know it. Well, I was pretty interested for a while to try to develop some housing down at Bartos Land,
mm-hmm.
where Aspen Village is, and I got to know Alan Anderson there, who was kind of a leader in that.
I'm going to go backwards now, back to Aspen and Red Mountain, and I'm not going to go a lot into your, I'm trying to phrase this. So, after Red Mountain and the Dude Ranch, you do that anymore. What did you decide to do for money after that?
Well, I was building up my architectural office.
Okay.
And Bobby steered me into that.
Uh-huh.
And she was a big help.
Yeah.
In my business.
Well, I think I kind of like you as Cowboy Fritz.
Those days are
so long. You and Han Dean would have been in competition, right? From one end of the valley to the other.
Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Sure.
And so then from Red Mountain, you moved to where? Where did you move? You'd lived.
Well, we moved down to the old Bowman building where the chef's is.
Right. Did you live upstairs there?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that building
nice
was a wreck.
But that's a new
upstairs. People have been stealing the windows and doors out of it, and it was falling in. The back part would fall in from the snow load.
Oh, I remember that.
So we moved into that and fixed up those apartments and rented them out to locals.
Yeah, and how many? There are three apartments up there?
Oh, no, there are about, there must be six or seven.
Six or seven apartments.
For the whole building.
Uh-huh. And then...
It's actually three buildings.
Oh, okay. And then where'd you move after that? Do you remember what you rented those apartments for? What'd you get for those?
$75 a month.
Yeah, good.
And we rented the spaces down below, but they weren't very profitable.
We
had my office down there.
There used to be a saloon there in the old days.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a
brothel, I think.
Yeah, it was a whorehouse upstairs.
Yeah.
Well, that's appropriate.
One of the tenants was Dave Lawrence, who was in partnership with Bob O'Dane. They tried to make the first plastic ski boot.
Oh.
Yeah, and Bob Cohen had a bookstore in there, and Bert Bidwell had his first shop in there in the corner.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
So, Bert, did you know him from 10th Mountain?
No.
Okay. Where did you move after? Do you remember where you moved after you moved out of that place?
Well, I guess we started to build our own house down where the club is now.
Right.
But then we sold the Bowman building and moved, and bought that property, this ranch.
Uh-huh. Now, who'd you buy this from?
Roger Dixon.
Dixon.
Yeah, he was a cotton broker in Dallas. It was a second home.
Oh, his second
and
home.
One of the early people who came in had a second home. Paid $10,000 for 160 acres.
And what did Dixon, who'd he buy it from, do you know?
Well, it was the Barella family, I guess.
Okay.
Barellas were chiefly up there, but I think relatives of hers had this place.
Yeah, they owned a huge stretch. Also, somebody else owned... Who was I just reading about? I just read their interview. Someone's uncle owned this property up here. Well, you'll have to read it in the book, because I can't remember who it was. I just read the interview, and I have a feeling it was Puppy and Junior Smith's uncle.
Oh.
And his name
was